A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The lights are probably gone.
So had the stairs.
You are just number six.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 507. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion about The Wind in the Willows. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, we are a BBC film version of the Kenneth Graham classic novel from 1908. This was 100 minutes, broadcast here in the UK in 2007 on New Year's Day. A glowing, colourful version showing the beauty of the British countryside, although brackets filmed in Romania, which is strange, and with Mark Gatiss, Bob Hoskins, Lee Ingleby, and of course the irrepressible Matt Lucas as Mr. Toad. These creatures with their idyllic lifestyles on the riverside and then their madcap adventures.
Yes, with lots of mishaps and madcap incidents to come throughout.
Yeah, we'll get into a few more of those now.
Indeed. Toad seems to be obsessed with fast vehicles and particularly these newfangled automobiles, always wanting to drive a fancy motor car. And this is leading him into causing all sorts of accidents and then even stealing a car at one point, leading to his arrest and a short trial and his incarceration in a rather grim prison, a rather grim trial as well.
Indeed. But of course, no jail is going to hold the irrepressible Toad of Toad Hall, and a crafty escape plan is hatched, which soon has him in disguise and on the run with the police in hot pursuit. Is there any chance he can get back to Mole and Rat and Badger? And can they restore him to his senses? And what's happened to Toad Hall in his absence? We will find out the answers to these questions as we watch this show.
Yes, indeed. Like many children's classics, the stories are chapters, but really like short stories in Kenneth Graham's 1908 novel, The Wind in the Willows, they originated from family bedtime stories that he had been telling as kids.
Absolutely. And of course, he writes this book with these stories collected together. It becomes a runaway bestseller, as we discussed last time, and is sort of synonymous with this pastoral British countryside setting where these animals laze about in the spring and summer sunshine, or at least in the case of Mole and Ratty, they try to at least.
Yes, and it has this interesting thing that it can be seen as resisting or commenting on the growing use of noisy and disruptive transportation. This came out at a point when the use of cars and their sort of taking over the road was still rather controversial, and people were worrying about the car accidents that were starting to happen, especially with pedestrians who were used to be able to walk where they needed to and where they wanted to, being pushed aside by these new cars, which were just starting to take over the road.
Yeah, there is a sort of conflict between this wonderful images of the British countryside and Graham's perhaps distrust of fast forms of transportation, these noisy and dangerous cars that were starting to become more and more popular. We'll say that it is rather also, it's a rather sort of middle class and male dominated book of stories. There are female characters, but as you probably remember, they're mostly working class female characters who are just there to sort of aid and abet Toad's escape from prison. So they don't really get an awful lot of agency of their own. We don't get to know very much about them.
It does have a bit of a Victorian feel, even though it's from a little bit later than that. But it has that sort of, as you say, very middle-class male kind of perspective. And it does feel of that time, I think.
And I'm just thinking about this because we talked last time about how Kenneth Graham had just retired from his job at the Bank of England. Which character do you think Kenneth Graham sees himself as in this book?
Well, I think it would be Badger.
Oh, right. Okay. The serious chap who's trying to restore order all the time.
Yes, and remembers how things used to be and is impatient with the younger folks and their newfangled motor cars and so on.
Right. We will say that the four animal leads, the four animal characters are quite lovely in a way, particularly their friendship. But I know I'm not the first person to say this. It does seem like Ratty, Mole, and Badger are trying to stage what we would now call an intervention for Toad, who seems to have a certain addictive personality, shall we say.
Yes.
There's also more in the book than we perhaps see on screen.
Yes, there are other chapters that explore the world more and introduce other inhabitants and different characters like Otter and so on, with different parts of the riverbank and the woods, and getting into some more of the sort of mystical and magical type features of nature.
Now, usually a lot of this stuff is left out of adaptations, although this TV film does have the moment when Mole meets the god Pan, or the piper at the gates of dawn, as Kenneth Graham refers to him in the book. And we do get this rather magical and almost tranquil interlude before we're back to the mayhem.
Yes, we do get that. But as you say, it's more an interlude than the center of things. The larger-than-life sort of character of Toad tends to dominate all of these film and TV versions that are out there. And that leads to varying reviews by fans of the original book. Some would prefer things to be a little closer to the original, of course.
Yes, I did read some reviews, and people do. There are obviously fans of the book who would like to see the other adventures included, and less of the focus just being on the intervention they're staging for Toad of Toad Hall.
Yes, for sure. So I think it's time that we get to some more of our own thoughts about this than we already have. So, Eamon, what did you like about The Wind in the Willows?
We've mentioned it a few times that this is a colourful production because they have taken the production out to the outskirts and the countryside around Bucharest in Romania, but somehow managed to convey a sense of English countryside because it glows, it looks beautiful. They've got some digital sort of extras to make, you know, the appearance of insects buzzing or pollen in the air. But it all looks quite glorious, doesn't it, Brian?
Yes, it does have a very vibrant type of look to it, which is quite neat. I will also say that the performances in this are quite lovely. I think maybe for Mark Gatiss and Bob Hoskins. But overall, the performances are quite fun here, for sure.
They are indeed, and aided by some sort of subtle makeup and prosthetics effects to make them look a little bit like the animals they're portraying. But our four central characters, they're very familiar to us in a way from the book. Some great performances in there. Of course, Bob Hoskins, the second show in a row for Bob Hoskins for us, Brian. Sometimes this seems to happen to us.
Seems to work out. Works out nicely in this case, I think.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else on the positive side, Eamon?
Well, I'll just say that there are some songs, that there's some music, that there is some wonderful costumes as well, particularly Matt Lucas wears some sensational suits as Toad Hall. Very colourful. So again, going with the sort of look and the feel of this show, I liked all that stuff as well.
Yes, there is some nice stuff there for sure.
And I think this is a positive if I say that Matt Lucas is far less annoying here than he was in Crodmandoon and the Flaming Sword of Fire, or whatever that show was called.
Yes, I believe that is the correct title. And yes, I definitely liked them a lot more in this. I didn't mind them in this. And yeah, this is definitely preferable to what he did on Little Britain and so on.
Yeah. Now, there are some oddities. We're moving into the sort of negatives here, because it is filmed, as I say, in Romania. So there's quite a lot of sort of Romanian actors as extras and minor parts. And so there's some dubbing going on, which is a bit obvious, I thought, Brian.
Yeah, I wasn't too bothered by that, but some of it is a little bit odd.
And I've got no idea why the American actor Michael Murphy plays the judge, but his voice is done by Tom Baker, who is listed on IMDb as providing the voice of the judge. I can't explain that, but I suppose if you can squeeze in some Tom Baker, we're not unhappy, Brian.
Yes, it was quite something to hear the voice of Tom Baker in there all of a sudden. I will say, and in this is in the more negative side, I thought this show was almost charming. It didn't quite get there, but it was close. And I felt that with a lot of things with this, that it was almost there. The makeup they did was kind of odd, and it almost worked. It didn't quite work for me.
I wondered about the audience for this show. Shown here in the UK at sort of just after 6 o'clock on New Year's Day, presumably intended for a family audience, would kids find the adult actors wearing just a bit of makeup and some whiskers convincing enough to make them think of the animals? And would they be bored by it? I think they might be, actually, Brian.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an odd one because you don't really have the feel of them being the animals. It's just the subtle indications there, which are interesting. But it's part of one of the things in this that just doesn't quite work. And it feels like it's quite close on a lot of things, but just doesn't quite get there.
I think that might be it, that it doesn't quite get there, as you say, Brian. It's almost charming. It's almost funny. It's almost a family show, but it doesn't quite get there. It falls short for some reason.
Yeah, the things that they're doing are almost convincing. The trial sequence, just, it felt a little bit strange and like it didn't quite fit into the rest of the show. You know, you have these quite light things and, you know, these very colorful and vibrant things, and then this very sort of tonally dark kind of thing with this trial suddenly being very grim that has seemed kind of strange in this production.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a strange one. Of course, we've got to mention Matt Lucas again. How did you find Matt Lucas in this as Toad of Toad Hall? A performance that divided critics, it would seem.
Yeah, I did not mind him. Like, yeah, it's certainly maybe more brash and in your face than it needs to be. But the enthusiasm of Toad that he brings, I think, is good. And the sort of short attention span and switching to the next thing all of a sudden, that works too. So I thought Matt Lucas was okay in this. I think I preferred the other major characters and their performances, but I thought he was okay.
I'd rather watch him with the 12th Doctor in Doctor Who, but I don't know if he's irritating in this show or if actually I just don't like Toad. I don't like Mr. Toad of Toad Hall and never have, never got it. Maybe, Brian, it's because I'm now a retired man that I'd much rather be with Ratty and Mole in a boat on the river, just gently floating downstream. And maybe it's Toad himself that's really annoying.
Well, that's fair too, I guess.
So, I guess we're getting close to recommendations on this show, Brian. Anything else you want to add before I ask you whether you're going to recommend it?
I think we should go to recommendations here.
I think it's your turn to go first on this one, Brian.
Okay. There are some things that are interesting in this, but I'm not going to recommend it. It's okay, but it doesn't quite work, so it's not a recommendation from me.
And I also am not going to recommend The Wind in the Willows in this 2007 version from the BBC. I'm not sure who this show is aimed at. I think the answer might be fans of the book. And clearly there are lots of fans of the book. It's just that I am not one of them. It is cheap and easy to get hold of. It is streaming here in the UK. So if you're a fan of the source material, check it out and let me know what you think about it. But in the meantime, I'm going to join you in saying, no, I don't recommend this show, particularly for our British Invaders listeners. But hey-ho, maybe they will tell us differently.
Yes, I would love to hear people's thoughts about it. So, in summary, The Wind in the Willows introduces us to these animal characters of mole, rat, badger, and of course toad, and show us these idyllic English countryside, traditional types of things on the river and so on, and also have toad's insatiable lust for going fast in all sorts of vehicles, whether it's a horse and carriage or especially a motor car, which leads to all sorts of problems with causing accidents and then legal problems and even imprisonment and all sorts of things, and leads through to an interesting conclusion.
Very much so. Now, if you disagree with our takes on The Wind in the Willows, then do get in touch on the socials and let us know.
Please do.
And please do come back next time. It's enough of these children's shows. Let's go to an adult supernatural show. Let's go to an ITV anthology from 1970 called Tales of Unease. And we're getting into some more creepy stuff for the next episodes, Brian.
We certainly are. It will be interesting to take a look at that one. Until then, you can find all of our previous episodes at BritishInvaders.com, including the ones that are no longer in the podcast feed. And if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our group there. And we are also on Threads and on Instagram. We are at British_Invaders_podcast on both of those platforms.
We are indeed. We're still on the fun socials. So if you have thoughts or comments or suggestions for us, give us a follow and let us know. And come and find us as part of the Voice of Geeks Network. British Invaders, a proud member of the Voice of Geeks at vognetwork.com. The Voice of Geeks for podcasts, for streaming, for gaming content, all sorts of stuff at vognetwork.com.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, Eamon in England saying, poop, poop.